against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. And then shall the end come.
Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
While on earth, Jesus spoke continually about the kingdom of God. When he sent his disciples to preach, he told them to preach the kingdom of God. What did Jesus mean when he referred to the kingdom of God? What did his disciples say when they preached the kingdom of God? Are you a member of the kingdom of God? Do you know how to become a member of the kingdom of God? We'll talk about it on today's edition of End of the Age. Let me tell you today about our exciting Armageddon collection. What does the term Armageddon mean? Why is it so important in Bible prophecy in the last days? And what will happen between now and then? In our Armageddon collection, we cover subjects such as events of the final 7 years, the revealing of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, and the world's greatest revival just ahead. In this special collection, you will receive the DVD, Seeds of Armageddon, November 29, 2012, our 8-lesson series, From Here to Armageddon, along with a PDF of our 7-year timeline and our informative DVD, First Step to Armageddon, December 23, 2016. All of this for your gift of $140 or more, plus the cost of shipping and handling. To order your Armageddon collection, go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. Ladies and gentlemen, it was quite surprising to me when I began to, in earnest, study the Bible, knowing that I felt I was called to preach and that I was going to be preaching to people. One of my first thoughts was, okay, what am I really supposed to be saying? What did Jesus preach? What did the disciples preach? What I found rather surprised me, because I kept hearing this term, the kingdom of God. I mean, it's everywhere in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. And yet it was somewhat of a foreign phrase to me. So I began to study. And the further I digged, the more I realized this was the theme of the entire Bible. But how had I missed it? If I missed it, then perhaps there's a chance you have too. We're going to go through some scriptures today that will show you straight from the Bible what is meant when we say kingdom of God. Is it something real? Is it a metaphor? What's it really all about? I want to begin in Daniel chapter number 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Here it is. After all human governments are destroyed, then the kingdom of God is going to be established, and it will reign forever. Interesting concept. Does that mean literally then that God will have a kingdom upon this earth? Let's look at some other scripture. We're moving now to the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 33. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, this is the angel speaking to Mary when he informs her she's going to supernaturally have a child. The angel went on to say, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Remarkable words, speaking about Jesus Christ telling his mother Mary what was going to happen. So let's explore further. We know that everywhere Jesus went, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Mark 1:14 and 15 describes one place. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So we're hearing this all the time. We're hearing it repeatedly. As a matter of fact, if you'll do a careful study, it is the message of the entire Bible. And that means it's the message to you. It's the message to me. Do we have a part in the kingdom of God? It's God's will for all of us to be a member of the kingdom of God. Yet, most people are not. Let me give you another example. Joseph of Arimathea is one of the two men when Jesus was crucified that went to Pilate and asked him, "Can we have the body rather than leave it there on the cross, expose the elements over Passover, allow us to take care of the body?" And Pilate granted them permission. So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took Jesus down from the cross. And the Bible says concerning Joseph of Arimathea that he had anxiously waited for the kingdom of God. Mark 15:43 records this. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. So this was not uncommon. There were many people on earth when Jesus came to preach that were in expectation. They thought it was time for the establishment of the kingdom of God. And many of them thought that Jesus was that King of Kings that would deliver the Jewish people from Roman oppression and establish his kingdom upon the earth. So Joseph of Arimathea was in great expectation and waited himself, his life, his hope, was that he was going to see the kingdom of God established. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus preached the glad tidings of the kingdom. It says there, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Now the 12 were in training. They're listening. And Jesus is preaching the glad tidings. The kingdom of God is wonderful news. As a matter of fact, it's the only hope this world has. The hope is not in our present governments, whether it's Republican, Democrat, or in foreign countries, whoever it may be. Politics is not going to ultimately be our answer. Now, let me make something clear. God can send political leaders from time to time, and he has done it, that will create the conditions beneficial for the spreading of the gospel. Nevertheless, they're not our hope. It's the kingdom of God is our hope, and that's the reason Jesus preached the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus, when his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," in Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10, this is what Jesus said. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Listen, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Jesus taught us to pray for the kingdom to come. And when the kingdom comes, that means the will of God is going to be done on earth as it is presently done in heaven. Now, right now, the will of God is not done on earth. All the war, all the suffering, all the murder, all the crime, all the sin, none of that is God's will. It's against God's will. However, a time is coming when the kingdom of God will be established. And when his kingdom is established on this earth, then God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to be a part of that. I hope you do. Now, let's look at where Jesus sent his disciples out to preach. In Luke chapter number 9, verse 1 and 2, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So not only did they preach the kingdom of God of the Old Testament, we have scriptures that tell us that John the Baptist preached the kingdom of God, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are synonymous terms. And then Jesus came, and his entire ministry was devoted to preaching the kingdom of God. Now then, he sends his disciples out to preach the kingdom of God because it is God's message for this earth. It's our hope. It's your hope. It's my hope. Whether we understand it or not, the message of the kingdom of God is our hope. Now, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God in such urgent terms. Listen to what he said in Luke 9, 59 through 60. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You mean I shouldn't even take time to bury my father? Another man said, oh, I just married a wife. I can't come right now. And then another one said, I just bought a yoke of oxen. I must go prove them. Every time the reply was, don't worry about those things. What I'm talking to you about is so much more urgent, so much more important. I want to say to everyone listening to me today, whether you realize it or not, the kingdom of God is the most important thing in your life, more important than your business, than your job, than your family, even than your wife. It is the most important thing in your life. And the entire Bible is devoted to the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot more to it. Let's continue on. The Bible actually tells us the kingdom of God is more important than having something to eat or having something to drink. Luke chapter 12, verse 29 through 31, Jesus said, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Someone may ask right now, okay, how would I seek the kingdom of God? Well, one of the first things you do is to educate yourself. Start reading your Bible. If you want to read about the kingdom of God, you can read in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John, the first four books of the New Testament. It is chock full of Jesus's teachings about the kingdom of God. Now, let's take another look at something that Jesus said. In this particular passage, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is within us. It's Luke 17, 20 through 21. And when he had demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, do we understand that at all? How can it be that the kingdom of God is within us. Does that mean it's within our heart? We know in the Old Testament it states that God will no longer write his law upon tables of stone, but he will write his law on the fleshly tables of our heart. Is it possible to have the principles of the kingdom of God written on our heart, to have them within us, to become a part of our heart, our soul, our mind, our thinking, our spirit? That's apparently what Jesus is saying. Now, during the time of Jesus, there were many people that thought they were on the brink of the establishment of the physical kingdom of God upon the earth. The Bible says they thought the kingdom should immediately appear. In Luke 19:11, Jesus addressed that particular concept. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So in Jesus' day, they actually thought they were on the brink of the setting up of the kingdom of God upon the earth. As a matter of fact, there was one time, after he had fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, that they actually came and said, this is the Messiah. This is our king. We're going to make him king. And the Bible says they would have taken him by force and crowned him king, even though he was resistant to it. But he slipped out of their presence, evaded them, and went into another location, because that was not the plan at that particular time. So there were people who were so enthused about this incredible ministry of Jesus Christ, healing the sick, even raising the dead, opening blinded eyes, unstopping deaf ears. They said, this is him. This is the Messiah for which we wait. And they would have taken him by force, but it wasn't time for that yet. Let's stop a moment and ask this question. How can you and I enter the kingdom of God? In John chapter number 3, verse 3 through 5, there was a religious leader that came to Jesus. He was attracted because he saw power in the ministry of Jesus that he saw no place else. This man's name was Nicodemus. He was a religious leader among the Jews. And so Nicodemus said to Jesus, now, good master, I know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man could do the works that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is John chapter 3, verse number 3. I want you to remember this scripture. It's such a critical scripture, because this is the first time in the Bible that we find the term born again. And yet Jesus said, except a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus was trying to understand this. So Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? I think Nicodemus was around 60 at the time. He said, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I mean, Nicodemus was trying to get this concept. And Jesus said, no, 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 that's not what I'm talking about. Jesus answered in verse 5, saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let's see what else happens when people heard the message of the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 12, it states there, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, here we are. Jesus has left the earth. Revival is sweeping the land. And Philip is preaching at Samaria. And when they heard his preaching, the response was they got baptized. Why? Because he was preaching about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, except a person is born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So they understood that baptism was part of entrance into the kingdom of God. It was part of being born again. So their natural response was that they were baptized. By the way, we have a brochure. I personally wrote it. It's called What Do You Mean Born Again? And it's free to anyone. If you want to go to the web, endtime.com, about halfway down the page there, you'll see it. What Do You Mean Born Again? Click on that. It's probably a 10, 15-minute read. Read through there, because you will find your destiny there. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he came, his ministry was tremendous. He wrote more books of the Bible than any other person. What did he preach? Well, not surprisingly, he preached about the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 19, verse 8, it says, "And Paul went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." There's a lot to the kingdom of God. For 3 months, he's going into the synagogue, and he's talking to the Jewish people and anybody else that might be there about what is the kingdom of God? What's the Messiah going to be like? Is it going to be our concept of he will enter into the gates of Jerusalem on a white stallion? Or what does the Bible mean when it says, your king is lowly, he comes unto you riding upon the foal of an ass? So he's going to come into Jerusalem on a donkey. But none of the Jews expected that. They expected this to be a regal occasion. And then what does the Bible mean when it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So now Paul is, for 3 months, he's disputing, what's the kingdom of God really going to be like? And he preached to them Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We got a couple more questions to ask. Who will enter the kingdom of God and who will not? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul writing here said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Now, this is really important, because most Christian preachers today are preaching the unrighteous can enter the kingdom of God. But here Paul said, don't you know the unrighteousness shall not enter into the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people are preaching you can do any of these things, same-sex marriage, homosexual lifestyle, adulterous lifestyle, fornicating lifestyle, and still you're okay. But that's not what the Apostle Paul taught. He said, you'll not enter the kingdom of God if that's your lifestyle. Then he went on to say in verse 11, and I love this verse, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." How does all that happen? That happens when you're born again. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. And it's God's will for every human being on this planet to be born again and pass from the kingdoms of this world to the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us that the redeemed will rule as kings and priests in the kingdom of God in the future, Revelation 5, 9, and 10. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us," these are the redeemed, "to God by thy blood," the blood of Jesus Christ, "out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Those of us who are born again, when Jesus comes back, will be caught up to meet him in the air. We'll be changed from mortal beings to immortal beings. And then we will reign as kings and priests on earth during his trial before Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus said, and he gave the answer, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, but hereafter." Matthew 26:63. "Hereafter," Jesus said, the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven." What was Jesus saying? My kingdom is not for right now. I come to form my kingdom. Later on, I'm coming to possess my kingdom. If you'd like to be born again, pick up the phone and call us. Ask for the brochure, "What Do You Mean Born Again?" Or go to our website, endtime.com, and read there, "What Do You Mean Born Again?" Today, I have some exciting news to share with you. You can now become a magazine subscriber for life. You will receive first-class benefits that will include a lifetime membership to End Time Magazine, as well as an unlimited access to the digital version of the magazine. You will also receive 20% off of all future orders at endtime.com, well, at least till the rapture happens. Never worry about missing one important issue or forgetting to renew. You can rest assured, when something happens in the news pertaining to Bible prophecy, you will be informed with the most recent cutting-edge material available. End Time Magazine has been the forefront of End Time Ministries since the beginning, and we would love to join with you in this first-ever opportunity of becoming a magazine subscriber for life. Join today by calling 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.
Have you always wanted to know more about Bible prophecy? Well, now you can. Attend a prophecy conference hosted by End of the Ages, Irvin Baxter. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com/events to see when Irvin will be at a location near you.